Peter B. Collins with News and Comment here on Thursday, April 5th, 2012. Three more Americans were killed in a suicide bomb attack in Afghanistan. Springsteen asks, who will be the last to die for a mistake? The incident occurred in northern Afghanistan in the capital of Faryab province, and it's not really that unusual. It's just another day in the occupation of Afghanistan. Meanwhile, new information has surfaced regarding the March 11th massacre in southern Afghanistan in Kandahar province. That was the one we were going to roll into last year with government in a box, and was going to be the big success story for the American occupation and an alleged turning point. Well, in an interview today with Professor James Petras, who is a distinguished contributor to Sibel Edmonds' website, BoilingFrogsPost.com, we got this comment regarding contradictions to the official narrative, and investigations on the ground indicate that the incident on March 11th where 17 Afghans died was not the act of a single lone berserk gunman named Sergeant Robert Bales. Here's an excerpt from that conversation with Professor Petras.
The Afghan Parliament sent an investigatory committee on the site and revealed that a great number of the relatives and neighbors of the victims claimed to have seen a dozen or more U.S. troops involved. Mm-hmm. The general of the Afghan army also carried out an investigation and confirmed the report of the Afghan parliamentary investigation.
And that would be General Karimi, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, President Hamid Karzai also questioned the version of the U.S., claiming that hundreds of similar assaults were carried out the same way by a substantial number of U.S. troops. Midnight attacks, doors broken down, families terrorized, shot, killed, maimed, and this was standard operating procedure, and he asked that it stop.
The full interview with Dr. Petras will be released at BoilingFrogsPost.com in the next few days. Also in Afghanistan, we understand that the U.S. and the Karzai government are close to a deal regarding these night raids. And we've been discussing these for years, triggered by reporting from Anand Gopal and Gareth Porter. And as you know, the context for the March 11th event was preceded by the controversy over burned Qurans by the United States and the video of American soldiers peeing on a dead Afghan fighter and many other insults to the culture and values of the Afghan people. So Professor Petras is dubious about this deal. He thinks it's a press release that is really just to save face. And it sets up a process where Afghan military forces would take a lead role in all of the night raids. But we know the Afghan forces are not, first of all, free of corruption or free of drugs. And recently, many Americans have died from gunshots delivered by members of the Afghan military. So it remains to be seen if this deal will hold and if it has any real meaning. But that's one of the things going on in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the Obama administration has started the ball rolling for new kangaroo court tribunal hearings of the alleged suspects responsible for the crimes of September 11th, 2001. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is the best known. And as you may recall, 2 years ago, Obama and Attorney General Holder tried to move these trials into federal courts in New York City. and they were blocked by members of both parties and Mayor Bloomberg in New York. And it's really tragic that an attempt to create some legitimate basis for justice was traded away because of political fear and hysteria. There should be some sort of hearings in June where the charges will be re-sworn against these men, and then there will be some various pretrial issues, such as the mental and health capacity of two of the individuals, in fact, most of them, who we believe were tortured. I think this is theater intended for consumption and boffo reviews in a highly charged political election year. Also related to Guantanamo, our friends over at the Center for Constitutional Rights and the Center for Justice and International Law have persuaded the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights to consider the case of an Algerian man who is currently detained at Guantanamo Bay. His name is Jamel Amitziana, and he has been there for over 10 years. He doesn't know what the charges are against him. He hasn't appeared a single time before a judge or magistrate. Kudos to CCR for pursuing these issues, and we will keep you posted if there are any meaningful responses and hearings from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. Meanwhile, Rachel Maddow over there at MSDNC kind of broke the mold. I've offered you some critical comments of Rachel's work over the last year or so because the show is almost exclusively negative reporting on Republicans, and there's plenty of negatives to report on. But I give her credit. On Wednesday night, she broadcast a lengthy segment about torture policies, and she correctly pointed out that John McCain used to be against torture when he was a candidate for president. Now Mitt Romney is pro-torture. He accepts the lies from John Yoo and Bush and the others that they were able to redefine torture so that American policies do not violate the law or human rights standards. We know that's false. And I give credit, because although Rachel Maddow didn't include the critical reporting that we broadcast here on our podcast yesterday about Jason Leopold and Jeffrey Kay's investigation into the manual that was used by John Yoo to create the legal arguments to permit 7 of the 10 torture techniques that were employed, Maddow did not report on that, and therefore I can only give her a B+. But I'd like you to listen to this excerpt. It's a little lengthy. She brings in Philip Zelikow, who we talked with Jason Leopold about yesterday. And while I think Maddow is too easy on Zelikow, however you want to pronounce his name, it is true that he wrote a memo that was then suppressed. They tried to destroy every copy. A memo that contradicted the John Yoo point of view, the Dick Cheney point of view, the David Addington, Donald Rumsfeld point of view about torture. So listen carefully, and I hope you'll listen all the way through, because in the last minute, this is where Maddow really shines and breaks ranks with the political actors on MSNBC. She actually criticizes the Obama administration and points out that they have failed to do their duty and prosecute the clear torture crimes of Bush and company. Please listen to this excerpt from Rachel Maddow's broadcast on Wednesday, April 4.
John McCain, himself a survivor of prison torture after he was shot down and captured in Vietnam, John McCain led the fight within his own party to ban torture, and then he won his party's nomination for president of the United States.
Well, Governor, I'm astonished that you haven't found out what waterboarding is.
I know what waterboarding is, Senator.
Then I am astonished that you would think such a torture would be inflicted on anyone in our who we are held captive, and anyone could believe that that's not torture. It's in violation of the Geneva Conventions. It's in violation of existing law.
John McCain beat Mitt Romney in that contest. He won the presidential nomination in 2008. And during that campaign, Mr. Romney repeatedly refused to say that waterboarding a person was a way of torturing that person. Did Mitt Romney's point of view win out in today's Republican Party? Is that another one of these issues in which even the politics of John McCain and Sarah Palin in 2008 are too left-wing now for today's Republicans? We may be about to find out. Every time the Romney campaign thinks that the George W. Bush presidency no longer lurks in the shadows of Mr. Romney's own efforts to capture the nomination this year, out comes a sinewy hand from under the bed to grab at Mr. Romney's bare ankles. Today, 3 years after the Freedom of Information Act requests were filed for it, today, the Wired magazine reporter Spencer Ackerman and the National Security Archive at George Washington University finally got their hands on a document written by this man. He's Philip Zelikow. He ran the 9/11 Commission. He was Condoleezza Rice's lawyer at the State Department. At the beginning of the Obama presidency in 2009, the Obama administration released memos in which the Bush administration had told itself that torturing people was legal. That as they read the law, CIA interrogators couldn't be prosecuted for torturing anyone because torture was legal, as they saw it. Torture is not legal. Torture is illegal. And as a top lawyer at the Bush State Department, Philip Zelikow circulated a memo within the administration that said essentially that the administration was kidding itself in trying to say that there was some way around the law here. They were trying to give a legal green light to CIA interrogators to torture people, but that green light, he said, was a sham. After the Obama administration released those sham memos from the Bush administration, Philip Zelikow disclosed that he had written this dissent. He said he had written this dissent at the time, but he said, I cannot disclose it to you because the Bush administration tried to cover it up and pretend like it never existed.
I heard the memo was not considered appropriate for further discussion and that copies of my memo should be collected and destroyed.
Philip Zelikow said that the White House attempted to collect and destroy all the existing copies of this memo, in which he called bullpucky on how the Bush administration was trying to say torture was legal. I got a chance to ask him about that on this show. Why do you think they tried to destroy every copy of the memo that they knew existed? And how did you find out that they did try to destroy copies of the memo?
Well, I found out because I was told, we're trying to collect these and destroy them. And you have a copy, don't you?
Mm.
But I know that copies were obtained in my building. I think copies still exist. Why would they destroy them? That's a question they'll have to answer. Obviously, if you want to eliminate records because you don't want people to be able to find them.
Am I right in thinking that they would want to erase any evidence of the existence of a dissenting view within the administration because it would undercut the legal authority of the advice in those memos, the advice that those techniques would be legal?
That's what I thought at the time. I had the same reaction you did, but I don't know why they wanted to do it.
Within the George W. Bush administration, they wrote a legal justification for torture. There was dissent within the administration on that. The Bush administration disagreed with the dissent. They tried to eliminate evidence that that dissent ever existed. And today, that dissent came to light. Philip Zelikow's memo, tearing apart the legal justifications for torture that the Bush administration was counting on to say that torture was legal. This memo that was circulated and read and which they attempted to make disappear during the Bush administration, now it is out in the light of day. And if the Republican Party were still the Republican Party of John McCain, this would open up a whole new can of political worms. Because the Obama administration, remember, looked into Bush administration-ordered torture, and they decided not to prosecute any of it. They decided effectively that the Bush administration was operating on good faith when they ordered torture. They thought it was legal. Probably not. Actually, it turns out they had good reason to know it was not legal. So that means it was a crime. It was probably a war crime, not to put too fine a point on it. And that is something that we are legally obligated to prosecute in this country. This reopens the whole question of the legal liability for torture that was administered by the previous administration. The Democratic Party will be split by this because the White House politically doesn't want to deal with it, even if it's wrong and even if they know it's wrong. And the Republican Party still has to figure out who it is. Is the Republican Party still the party of John McCain, which has now the opportunity to outflank the president on a matter of principle here, where the White House knows what the right thing to do is, but they don't want to do it? Or are the Republicans still the party of George W. Bush and Mitt Romney, who thinks torture's okay? Gut check time.
Well, thank you, Rachel Maddow, and I'm glad you're covering that. I hope you will continue to raise these important issues on your television show. We talked earlier this week about Occupy Jerusalem. The Jewish settlers who have moved into part of the town of Hebron and taken over disputed property. There is a dispute about whether some Arabs sold it to a third party who then has sold it to some Israelis. But despite threats from Bibi Netanyahu to interfere and block the eviction of these illegal settlers, the action went through. The settlers were evicted on Wednesday, and there were only about 15 of the trespassers who were at home at the time of the military raid. Here in the United States, finally some justice for victims of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Rogue cops on September 4th, 2005, shot six people on the Danziger Bridge where they were stranded because they were trapped on the highest part of the bridge surrounded by flood. And this became the centerpiece of the Federal Justice Department's push to clean up the New Orleans PD. Five cops were convicted, some on federal firearms charges that carry minimum mandatory sentences of at least 35 years. And a retired cop who was assigned to investigate the shooting was convicted of helping to orchestrate the cover-up. There were five others, though, who plea bargained and earned the ire of U.S. District Judge Kurt Engelhardt, who sentenced the ones I just told you about. And the judge questioned the credibility of the officers who plea bargained and then testified against those who went to trial. And here's a powerful quote from the judge. Citing witnesses for perjury at this trial would be like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500. In Portland, Oregon, a document uncovered by attorneys for soldiers who were sickened at an Iraqi water treatment plant shows that the military contractor KBR, a division of Dick Cheney's Halliburton family, knew that deadly dioxin was being stockpiled and used in massive quantities at the facility, despite the contractor's repeated denials that it had any knowledge of the presence of this toxin until soldiers became ill. The Oregon National Guard soldiers who were suffering from respiratory problems, migraines, and lung issues sued KBR back in 2009, and economic damages will be determined later in the trial proceedings. And finally today, George McGovern is hospitalized. The former South Dakota senator and Democratic presidential candidate, a hero to many, has been hospitalized in Florida. He's 89 years old, and there are concerns that he may be reaching his final days. And I want to commend a Peter B. Collins subscriber and listener in Kauai, Hawaii, John Zweibel. He's in self-imposed exile from Santa Cruz, California. And he wrote me an email. George McGovern is in the hospital. He was a bomber pilot in World War II. Funny how often the most liberal politicians were the ones who actually won the war. And Zweibel goes on, I have a mind photo of him in an upstairs room at the Santa Cruz Vet Center as he was preparing remarks to deliver to a packed house in 15 minutes. Funny how such small stuff sticks and means so much. I hope you'll take a moment to honor George McGovern. I'm delighted you downloaded today's news and comment. It's free, so put it up on Facebook, share it with your friends, and send them to peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.